One of my favourite Easter traditions is making hot cross buns. Today, I'm interested in one of the ingredients in particular, yeast. Without it, my bread just wouldn't rise. But what is it about this strange powdery ingredient that makes it so useful? I took my freshly baked hot cross buns to Leah Chappell, a molecular biologist at the Sanger Institute in South Cambridgeshire, to find out. We started by breaking one apart, and I asked Leah exactly what went on for the yeast to create the light, fluffy texture inside.
If you look inside, it kind of looks spongy as well, and it's got the same property, I guess, of the sponge, that it's not solid, it's full of pockets of gas. In a sponge, it's air. In the bread, it's carbon dioxide.
What is it that the yeast are doing to produce this gas during the baking process?
Being alive, basically. I describe yeast as being a simple complex cell. That's completely counterintuitive, but they're a complex cell in that they're like humans in some kind of way. They're actually got biochemistry that's similar to us. They're taking their energy source, which in this case is sugars, and they're effectively breathing and giving off gas, in this case carbon dioxide. So they're just doing their usual business. It just happens to be in a useful place for us in bread.
When I was doing the baking, I had to leave the dough in a nice warm place for quite a long time to get it to rise. Why is it necessary to leave it in a warm place?
Chemistry. The same reason that a lot of things happen faster when you heat them. Stuff happens very slowly at low temperatures, will happen faster at warmer temperatures, up until the point where you kill and cook the yeast, of course. But once it's dead, it can't do any more chemistry.
Ideally, we're finding somewhere that allows the yeast to go as fast as possible without quite killing them.
Exactly.
Bread making is just one place that we can use yeast for making food. What else can we use it for?
One of the most widely used places for yeast is in making alcoholic drinks. This is something people discovered across the world in different ways thousands of years ago. The yeast are able to take the sugars in, for instance, grapes in wine or grain in things like beer, and they'll be able to break down that sugar into simpler sugars and alcohol.
Yeast has also been really helpful for us in DNA sequencing, I believe.
Yeast was one of the first organisms to have its complete genome sequenced. And by genome sequenced, I mean that we could read the DNA and write down all the letters. There are about 12 million in yeast, which is a lot smaller than something like the human genome.
You could almost take down the DNA sequence and, if you had the right technology, know how to reconstruct yeast.
I think within the next 10 years, maybe you'll be able to make a synthetic yeast genome. People have been printing their own bacterial genomes, which are maybe a half or the third of the size. So one day, not that far in the future, we'll be able to prove if we really understand the yeast genome by trying to get rid of all the bits we don't need and seeing if it still works, which will be a very exciting day for biology. The understanding we get, we can use to improve biotechnology. We'll be able to make the yeast do things that it currently can't do, which are really useful for technology. For instance, we can make super yeast that will be able to degrade waste products like cellulose and turn it into something useful like a fuel.